Our main speaker tonight is Andy from Seal Beach.
Hello. Hi, everybody. My name is Angie Fisher, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. Is that a good place for it? I'm kind of shy. I'm so annoyingly not. Thank you very much for having me. I actually spoke here, it's a little bit high. Spoke here, I think about a year and a half ago, so it's really nice to be back. I really enjoyed when I was here, and I remember that almost every seat was filled. So thank you guys for giving me the opportunity. I introduced myself as a recovered alcoholic, as Jeff explained, and as our big book explains, I think in 18 different places. Man, that gave me a lot of hope when I first heard that. But it tells my big book tells me over and over and over that we can recover. The obsession's been removed. I'm not insane anymore when it comes to alcohol, thank God. I do not suffer from a hopeless state of mind and body anymore. Can I get sick again? Absolutely, because I'm not cured of it. Jeff explained that just great. And you know, I'm like I said, that was the first thing that gave me a lot of hope after 7 to 8 years of chronically relapsing and not being able to put any sufficient time together. And when I say chronic relapser, I mean it. Desire chip after desire chip, I think I have 250, if not more. It gave me a lot of hope to know that I could recover. My name's Angie Fisher. My home group is the Primary Purpose Group in Laguna Niguel. My original home group is the Primary Purpose Group in Dallas, Texas. And yes, I am nervous now that Jeff said that he and my audio was the one he listened to. I wasn't nervous before that. But yes, that's my home group originally, and I'm proud of that. That's where I got sober, and I get to go back there actually in a few days and visit. My sobriety date is March 25th, 2006, so Friday I celebrated 5 years, which is crazy. It just doesn't seem like that long. So that cake is mine back there. I hope y'all enjoyed it. It just doesn't seem like that long, and I think it's because today I get to just live life, and I don't count days, and I don't count months. I'll tell you what, I did the first year. That was a big deal. To get 30 days, I had attempted so many times, and birthdays are a big deal. But I believe very much in quality of sobriety and not quantity. That's everything. I've done sober and miserable. You know, not for very long, but I wanted to be free. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to love life and to be able to enjoy things and to not want to drink, if that makes sense. And today, that's what life is like. My book tells me that I get to live life one day at a time. Just stay sober one day at a time. I get to. As long as I keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't have to focus every day, you know, on as long as I keep doing what I'm doing, that's going to happen. I promise that in this book. I'm going to share with you some of my story. I'm not going to go into too much. I'm not into telling war stories because we all know how to get loaded. We all know how to drink. We all know how to do really crazy, stupid stuff, and we're alcoholics, so that's going to happen when we drink. Most of my story, I can't tell it without, I was in AA, like I said, for many, many, many years, not knowing the truth about this program and the truth about AA, and then I got really, 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 really sick, and then I heard the truth. So my experience, and this is just my experience, all right, it could be totally different than yours, so just keep that in mind. I've only got my experience. I'm coming from a place of not being able to stay sober in AA and then absolutely being able to stay sober in AA freedom, true freedom. I can't tell my story without, I mean, that's my whole story almost. But I do want to tell you a little bit of where I come from and how, why I identify as an alcoholic and kind of, you know, what happened. I'm from Dallas, Texas, born and raised there. I've been out here for a little over three years. My family was great too. I know a lot of us come from beat up families, a lot of tragedy, a lot of you know, negative stuff going on. And I have to say, I have two wonderful, loving parents. Nothing insane about my childhood. My parents got divorced when I was six. That was very difficult. But that's not why I'm an alcoholic. Now, I thought that for a long time. If Dad would have only been around, if Dad would not have left, I would have molded into this, you know, complete, full, confident, strong woman, able to do anything, conquer the world. And because he wasn't around, I didn't have that father figure. I'm just, you know, and that's why I drink. Not true. Not true. I found a lot of things to blame my alcoholism on, and I just didn't understand what it meant to be an alcoholic. And I'll tell you what I was experiencing going to a bunch of meetings, trying to get sober, and my experience is somewhat like Jeff. I am, not somewhat, it was. I was not hearing solution. I was hearing a lot of problems. And it wasn't really that helpful. I'm jumping ahead. Let me kind of back up. Had my first drink at 13. I shared a tall boy. Forget these old small beers. In Texas, we got tall boys. Tall boys are 16 ounces. I shared one of those with a handful of girls. I think about five girls. One. We shared one. What is that? A 250. And we had fun. You know, we thought we were drunk after two sips, and it was just fun. I had not found my solution to all life problems at age 13 and those two sips, but it was just fun. Drank a little bit more as I got a little older. Your normal partying, just normal 16-year-old, 18-year-old partying, going to dances, getting together beforehand, having a few drinks, and it was a few drinks. I believe I was born with the predisposition. I absolutely do. Somewhere way up in my family tree, there are alcoholics. My immediate family, I come from a large family, but my immediate family, lots of hard drinkers. Lots of hard drinkers. My family really enjoys their wine, especially. But there is a difference between us, and I'll get to that. Drinking a little bit more in my early 20s, still no problems. It's still fun. I'm still just partying. Just not a problem. But you know, the truth is, I, very confident, very outgoing, had a great adolescent years, but there's something that just started happening like at 18, 19, 20, and I started getting real fearful. I started getting real, just not good. I didn't feel as good as you. And I thought it was a low self-confidence problem. So I started reading self-help books, how to be more self-confident. And I mean, I had a crap load of self-help books to help my self-esteem. I thought that was the deal. Drinking fixed that. Drinking helped that. When I was nervous, when I was a little bit afraid, on a blind date, I can remember dates, going on dates, I would always have to have a little bit before just to feel better. You know, you hear that liquid confidence. That's what I thought it was. As I said, just no big deal, but it worked. It worked. So I kept doing it, and I kept doing it. And it worked, and it worked. And it's progressive, of course, we know, and I kept drinking, and I just started getting to the point where I was passing out a lot. And that still wasn't that weird. In your early 20s, you drink a lot, and you go to clubs, and you dance, and you pass out. But weird stuff I start doing, and I do recognize that it's weird. Hiding alcohol, having a few drinks before my friends come over, and not wanting them to know that I have had these drinks beforehand. Getting a little bit too intoxicated while I'm getting dressed. So I can't even go out anymore because I'm too intoxicated. I'm all dressed up and nowhere to go. Just, it started, messing things up, messing up with my daily life. I start skipping school. I was not one of these people that could get up with a hangover at this point and go to work. It's like, screw the job. I'll get another job because I just can't. And I've had like 30 waitressing jobs in my early 20s. I just couldn't hack it. And there's a lot out there, functioning alcoholics, that could. Guys, I still don't know that I'm an alcoholic, because, you know, I'm thinking alcoholic is, you know, the guy that beats up his wife and someone who goes off and doesn't come back for 6 days, and that's just not me. I'm not understanding. I know I'm drinking weird, though. Hiding alcohol when you live alone is a big sign that you're just a little bit different. Normal drinkers, I don't think, do that. They don't think that they need to do that. Just like as Jeff's experience, my experience was I kept changing things. I kept changing schools. I would end up partying a little bit too much and start missing classes, so I would drop out of school, or I'd cut down to 3 hours. And I would just, God, it's North Texas. It's North Texas that's the problem. They don't have my major I wanted anyway, so I'm going to switch schools. And I'm changing all these things. I don't feel good inside. And I think that if I change that, I'll feel better. This boyfriend is not treating me well, and that's why I'm not very happy, and that's why I drink, because I feel better. You know, if I get rid of that boyfriend, I'm changing all this stuff. And the deal is, it's fixing it for a while. I think it, because it's a fresh, it's different, something different. But it doesn't fix me. What's wrong with me? Because my problem is me. I'm drinking more and more, and I'm starting to suffer consequences. I'm starting to get DWIs. I'm starting to wreck cars. I'm starting to, my friends are starting to kind of talk to me about it. I'm lying more. I'm lying a lot, actually. Everything that comes out of my mouth after about 3 years is just a flat out lie. So, gonna speed forward, but yes, I get several DWIs, and yes, I had a job as a nanny, and I lost it because I woke up passed out drunk and had no idea where the kids were, and just all kinds, you know, stuff happening. Of course, getting DWIs, I'm sent to AA for punishment. I'm told to go to AA, and I'm really not paying attention. I'm just really not. I just know I've got to get the court card signed, and that's just the deal. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all. There comes a point when you're going to AA and you're drinking, it's kind of hard. I mean, when people are starting to kind of notice. So I do attempt to stop. I do attempt to stop drinking. And I can't do it. Can't do it for very long at all. I would have a really bad drinking spree, 4 or 5 days. I would wake up, just like the book talks about, just remorseful, hating life, feeling horrible, you guys know. Forget the physical pain, though, and the humiliation and the embarrassment of not knowing what we did the night before. Each and every time, little by little, I have less respect for myself, less dignity. I am more in fear. I am scared of everything. And this guy is happening over pretty much, kind of why I'm speeding through it, over a short period of time, about 5 years. The problems are piling up, but what's worse is I am discovering I cannot stop on my own. I don't understand why. I'm going to more meetings. I actually am taking desire tips because I do decide, yeah, I want to stop, but I really don't believe that I can. I just kind of want to learn how to maybe not do it so much. This is my experience in the meetings that I was going to. I would walk in, I would sit down. There weren't any big books anywhere at that time. I didn't care, no big deal. We would say, read how it works. We would do all the whole, you know, the whole thing that we do at the beginning of meetings. And then it was, okay, who's got the problem today? And somebody would share about their problem of the day or how they're feeling. And that was cool. I'll admit, that was cool at first. I got to vent. I got to either lie and say things are great, oh my God, life is good, I feel great, when I'm just not, I'm really hurting inside. Or I got to just totally vent and spew all over my problems all over the table. And I left and I did, I felt better. But I'm going and I'm getting drunk. It's not doing any, and I do come to the realization that if this is AA, I don't like it. I don't like it. I do get a sponsor. These steps were supposed to work, okay? She tells me that the first step, we are going to write a paragraph and you're going to go look up the word powerless and then the word ness and then the word less and then powerlessness and then write your own paragraph on it. And a lot of stuff that wasn't in the big book. I didn't know that because I wasn't looking at my big book. So I'm doing this work. And it's over about a three-week period of time. I remember one of the first times, it was like over a three-week period of time, and I'm not feeling any better. And I am going to a lot of meetings. They've told me 90 and 90. I don't care if they say 150 and 90. That's fine, but I'm not working in any steps at the same time. And if going to kind of jump here, but if the goal is to have a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, it doesn't say anywhere in my big book how many meetings I have to go to have that. You know, it just doesn't. So in the very beginning, it doesn't hurt to go to a lot of meetings whatsoever. The fellowship is incredible. But I needed to hear some solutions during those meetings that I'm going to. And I heard that 90 and 90, you'll be okay. 90 and 90, you'll be okay. But not really anything about the importance and the absolute necessity, the absolute must to work these steps. So I'm going to like 10 meetings in a row, 10 days in a row, and on my 11th day when I can't make it, I'm freaking out. Oh my God, I'm not going to get sober now because I'm going to miss a day. Not understanding that to get better, to really, really get well, it's in the steps. It's in the steps. You'll be okay if you just don't drink, is what I'm told. You will be okay, don't drink in between meetings. And I have to say this because this is what I heard, you guys. These people did not want to hurt me. They didn't want to hurt me. And maybe that worked for them. And that is so cool. I'm not sure what they were doing in a meeting if they could just say no. But I couldn't say no. I tried. I tried to say no, but my mind is telling me it's okay. That was 2 weeks ago that you had that drink, and it might work this time. You could probably pull it off. Just act like a lady this time. Behave better. Be nicer. Think first. Think before the drink. But the thing is, once I learned what powerless and the first step really meant, traditions on what side, whatever that, what the first step really meant about what it means to be powerless, put the plug in the jug, fake it till you make it, that implies that I have the power to put the plug in the jug and just say no. If I just say no, that means I've got power. But step one says I'm powerless. So it just didn't make a lot of sense. It really doesn't. It's just, it is what it is, you know. I work steps 1, 2, and 3, 1, 2, and 3, 1, 2, drink, 1, 2, drink, 1, drink, 1, 2, 3, drink. I relapse. My sponsor says, well, you're obviously not understanding and getting step 1, so we're going to take longer to do it. You need to really understand it way better. So go read again. I'm getting no relief. I'm getting no relief whatsoever. My experience was then 4 days, 5 days, detox at home, which was really stupid, but I didn't know any better. Feel better, look a little bit better. People will not be quite so mad at me. I do feel better, you know. The alcohol is out of my body. I am no longer physically craving it, but the obsession is still there. I don't know this at the time. Once again, because I'm not studying the book. Feel better, look better. 2 weeks go by. I made way too big of a deal about that drinking thing. Everybody gets a DWI at some point in their life, don't they? Yeah, even non-alcoholics get DWIs, so it's just not that big of a deal. I'll just have one. I'll just have three. Guess what happens? You guys understand it. It's in the doctor's opinion. It's textbook what happens. We go through the Wellman stages of our spree, awakening remorseful with a firm resolution never to do it again, and it happens over and over and over and over. That's what's going on with me, but I don't understand. I think I just like to party. I think I just have a hard time saying no. My loved ones and my friends and my family are saying, don't you love us enough? If you loved us enough, you'd quit. Don't you remember what you did a month ago? Well, the book tells me I'm not going to remember. It tells me on page 24, I'm not going to remember what I did from about a week to about a month. No, I don't remember how bad it was. I remember waking up in jail. I remember it was horrible. I remember it was embarrassing and horrible and painful. But I'm not going to remember it with sufficient force. This is what my book tells me. I'm not going to remember it with sufficient force strong enough to keep me away from that next drink because I've lost the power of choice. I did not realize that that is what step one means, that I've lost the power of choice and control. And thank God I know that today. You don't love us enough. What's the deal? Don't you know what happened? And I'm very confused because I'm thinking, shoot, I love them to death. I love them to death. Why can't I stop? I get married at this point. Yes, I'm very much in love and wanted to get married, but I also thought that it would calm me down. And I wouldn't want to drink. That's the ticket. Marriage. That's the ticket. Then family. Then, and I'm telling you, in between the six colleges I went to and moving all over the place and getting, there were a lot of them. There were a lot of outside changes that I tried to make, and I'm still drinking. One of them is I decided to go to acting school. That's cool. That's okay. You go to acting. You talk about a room full of drug addicts and alcoholics, a bunch of actors. That's when I started doing drugs. I moved to San Francisco, thinking that's gonna fix it, you know, another move, and I ended up coming back 3 months later. I had this obsession with Alcatraz also, and I wanted to be a tour guide on Alcatraz. And this was another fix. I will just get this really, I love Alcatraz, and if I'm just really happy in my job, that'll be great, that'll fix it. And then I find out that you have to be a forest ranger. You have to have a degree in forestry. Forget that. Forget that. So I do other things in San Francisco, and I'm very happy. I'm very happy, except I'm happy, so I'm drinking, you know? So forget the acting school. Forget forest ranger. Okay, I end up moving back to Dallas because, man, that's where my family is, and I just need my family. And then I'll be happy, and I'll quit drinking. Get married, got worse. That didn't make it worse. My drinking got worse. So we tried to start a family. God, I just need to have kids. You know, then my focus will be on children and not alcohol, and I will truly be happy then. But I'm too drunk. To put it bluntly, I've messed up my body too much. I'm too loaded to get pregnant. To take the medication necessary to enhance that, it's just, and when you're not trying, it's not going to happen when you're too drunk to try. So that wasn't the solution either. That didn't happen. I know I'm really jumping around here. Long story short, I am the one that's going into the meetings after years and years and years of relapse. I'm also jumping around groups in Dallas. I've been to every single group because I'm so humiliated to go back to and get my 12th desire shift at one group, so I will go to another one. I'm the one sitting in the back of the room really needing to know, how am I going to leave here and not go to the bar? How in the hell am I going to do that? There are so many newcomers, you guys, that come into meetings that that's all they want to know. And sadly, there are too many meetings that we're sitting around talking about our stupid problems. We've got problems. Dude, I've got a lot of problems. But in a meeting is just not where we need to be sharing that stuff. That's what IHOP and that little Mexican restaurant across the street for after the meeting. I decided AA does not work. If I have got to do this for the rest of my life, I screw it. AA does not work. Come to these meetings every day for the rest of my life and leave wanting to drink, being told to sit on my hands next time I want to drink, implying once again that I have the power. I'm just going to sit on my hands when I want to drink. I thought I was powerless. I get really, really, really sick, and it's suggested to me to go to treatment. It is really the only thing I have not tried. I've tried the exercise program. I have tried the anti-abuse. I have tried the whatever, everything. Self-help books, more of them. Therapy, 12 years of therapy. Yes, I was in therapy before I started drinking. nothing's working. Treatment is the only thing I haven't tried, and I said, no way, that is for really sick people. That would mean that I was really sick. Rehabilitation. But I'm so bad, I'm 89 pounds and I can't walk and I'm hallucinating and I am wanting to kill myself. In AA for 8 years wanting to kill myself. So I, loving husband stuck by me, God bless him, because lots of spouses don't stick around. We give them every reason to walk out that door, and he didn't. He supported me. And I went to treatment, and this is where everything changed. I heard, and I'm going to say his name because he absolutely does not care that I do. In fact, he wishes that everybody would use their last name if anybody ever needs to find him. But a man named Chris Raymer gave me my third or fourth big book that I hadn't read one yet, this book. Very same book. And he took me to page 24 and he explained to me what powerlessness meant. He explained to me the allergy and the obsession, and then he took me to page 24. Explained to me it's about the loss of control and loss of choice. That I don't have it anymore. That self-knowledge isn't going to fix it. It's not a alcoholism is not a behavioral problem. It is not my outside stuff that's causing me to drink. Got an allergy. I've got an obsession. I've crossed the line into alcoholism. The problem centers in my mind. He told me all this stuff, and he said he was recovered, and I was like, what? What does that mean? And he showed me everywhere in the book that it says that. And I had hope for the first time. And when I left that treatment center, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been to every meeting in Dallas, Texas. I don't know. Now I've been to some book studies and they were okay, but it was like talking about a little bit about the book and then a little bit about themselves and then more about themselves and thank God for the program and thank God for step three. But what's step? Okay, keep going. What's step three about? It was that kind of, you know, not really connecting. By the way, that our book says that selfishness and self-centered is the root of our troubles, right? How selfish is it to go in a meeting and just talk about yourself and your day? You know, we're supposed to be thinking about the newcomer. So I go to Dallas, and he says, Chris Raymer tells me to look up his brother, and I go to his brother's group, and it is a room full of happy people. Over here is one gal working with another, their protege. People are laughing. There's books everywhere. It was joyful. It was kind of, the woman that's my grand sponsor now, she was speaking. And I'm like, God, why is that lady so happy? She was laughing and giggling. And it's like, man, I want to laugh like that again. What's the difference? Got a sponsor. I worked these steps in about a month. So 8 years of taking my own sweet time, which my book doesn't say that. My book actually uses words like next, Next, we launch onto a course of vigorous action at once. Now, those translate as, to me as not take your time. That's not what Bill did, thank God. If Bill would have taken his time, we wouldn't be here. But I got a sponsor who got me through these steps in 1 month, and it was work. But she told me, the very first thing she asked me, she qualified me. There were two questions on page 44, and she qualified me as an alcoholic. She wanted to make sure I was supposed to be there. You know, that was a real alcoholic. I'd never had anybody qualify me before. Have I lost the power of choice? Have I lost control? And then she asked me if I was done. And she said, no, not done one day at a time. Done for good and all. And I said, oh, I think so. And she said, good. She said, great, I'm happy to work with you. But the minute you balk at anything that I suggest that you do, actually, I take that, but she didn't say the word suggest, anything that I tell you to do. I'm trying to be nice, and she was a sweet gal, but she was on my butt from the very beginning. If you balk, you're going to need to go find somebody else to work with, because you've got to be willing to do this. And I see now that that was the most loving thing she could do, because she didn't want to waste my time, and I didn't want to waste her time. She didn't want me to waste her time. And she's still my sponsor today, and I love her to death, and I love her for telling me the truth. I love her for not just patting me on the back and saying, you'll be okay. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. She said, you will not be fine. You keep drinking, you will die, and that's the truth. And that's what I needed to hear. I didn't need any hugs and love. So, got through these steps, and in a month, and I have not had the obsession to drink in 5 years. So, taking my own sweet time for 8 years, relapse, and then I finally hear the truth, get busy on the work. Got to keep that momentum going, you know. My book tells me spiritual experience is vital. Step 12 says we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics after having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. It doesn't say we might have one. Good luck, you might. It says we will. We will. And that's what I need. How many meetings do I have to go to have a spiritual experience? I heard someone say, and I think Jeff said it a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, if meetings were outlawed, if Obama said, okay, no more AA meetings, could I stay sober? I almost said Clinton. Could I stay sober? And my answer is yes, because I've got this. I've got the solution right here. And the difference is I follow the instructions precisely from this book, because that's the only place that these directions are at. Okay, I don't have much time left, but what life is like now, man, what I'm like now, I'm goofy. I'm happy. And you guys, I've got problems. I've got problems. But the coolest thing is, just like, that my mind does not go to... I have had more things happen to me in sobriety. People dying. Separation. And I have not... Drinking did not come to mind. It didn't. That is the miracle of this deal. When we get connected to a power that's going to keep us sober. Because I can't do it. We get connected to that power as a result of taking these steps. And we have that spiritual experience. You want to know what a spiritual experience is on page 567 in the back of the book? Great explanation. I didn't see butterflies and glitter and all that stuff, but what I did have was enough. It was sufficient. And so I kept on moving with these steps. What life is like today is I'm free of the obsession to drink. There is, I wrote down some, because I just didn't want to be flipping through my book, but there are a couple of things that I really, really want to, I have like 5 minutes, right? Okay. A couple of things I really want to make sure I get across. I kind of spent too much time telling my story. I believe that to be helpful, especially to the newcomers in here, there are some myths in AA, and it sounds like I am back at AA, and I'm not. AA is the reason I'm here. I'm just talking about AA the way Bill and Bob intended it to be. This is how they intended it to be. permanent recovery. My book talks about permanent recovery. It talks about getting sober for good and all. There's a big difference between recovery and being sober. Recovery is, to me, in the mind, being recovered from that hopeless state of mind and body. And I just wanted to point that out. There are people that maybe rely on meetings to keep them sober, and that just didn't work for me. I needed something more. Needed something more than that. The only thing that I could rely on was a higher power. I'm kind of getting sidetracked here. I wanted permanent recovery. I didn't want to drink. I did not want to always want to drink. I wanted that removed. That I was told that it could happen if I followed some instructions. Guys, if you don't have a sponsor, get one that's recovered. Get one that has had a spiritual experience. If they can't say they're recovered, that's fine. That's fine. Some people don't like to say that. Ask them if they've had a spiritual experience. If you're looking for a sponsor, you don't have to have anything in common with them. My sponsor and I could not be farther from different. She is a young, in her 20s, I just turned 40, cowgirl. I mean, we couldn't be more different. It didn't matter. She was sober, I was drunk, she had had a spiritual experience, the obsession had been removed, she was working with other alcoholics, that's what I wanted. She had 3 months sober, that's exaggerated. She had 5 months sober. Let's try to be honest today. She had 5 months sober when she started sponsoring me. Thank God. Thank God her sponsor taught her from this book and said, as soon as you recover, you better get out there and help other people because that's what's going to keep you sober. I want to read something to you guys. I wrote down what the big book says about our primary purpose. On page XVI, it says he suddenly realized that in order to save himself, he must carry his message to another alcoholic. Page XVII, it also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. Page XXV, we're not even to page one yet. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conception to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with others. Page 14, particularly was it imperative to work with others, as he had worked with me. Page 15, if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. Page 15, again, I soon found that when all other methods failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. You guys get the idea? A few more. Page 89, practical experience shows us that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Page 97, helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. Page 146, this work is necessary to maintain our own sobriety. So on and so on and so on. I think they're saying that in order for us to stay sober, we need to get out there and help other people. Take them through the steps. I can be helpful and I can be nice, sweet, but I need to work one-on-one with other women that are dying of this disease. How selfish of me if I don't. Shame on me if I don't. Quality versus quantity. I know people that have 3 months. I know a guy, Jeff Sponsoring, that has 3 months sober. He is kicking butt in AA. And he has carried the message to a hospital with me yesterday. And I'll tell you guys what. I would have him ask him to sponsor me in a minute before some people that I know that have 10 years, 15, that aren't really living by the principles. Lots of people are, man, and that's so cool. And I hope to be there one day. But quantity is not necessarily, doesn't necessarily mean they've got what you have, what you want. Does that make sense? Alright. Thanks. I really appreciate your time. I just can't tell you how grateful I am that somebody told me the truth. And I'm kind of proud of myself. I didn't get too harsh. But I know everybody's got their own experience, and some are going to agree, and some are going to like it, and some are going to hate it, But I try to go straight from this book. You know, I try to stick to this book, and if I haven't, I apologize if I've stated some of my opinions. Don't listen to my opinions, because I'm not always right. But, gosh, you guys, thank you so much. And, yeah, if there's any newcomers out there that want to talk after the meeting, God, please come chat with me. Thank you.